Fuck Mouse Hunt. Put that at the end of the episode.
No, I'm gonna put that to open the episode. That'll be our cold open.
So excited for this episode because this is the first time that I sat down to watch one of our movies for this pod, and my 100-pound golden retriever Jack sat right next to me and watched the entire film, never taking his face like off the screen. It's the one and
representation
only.
Is important.
It is. It's the one and only Air Bud.
I loved editing this episode. It's the first episode that I edited post our mini hiatus between jobs, and I have to say you can tell that I edited this episode because there's a lot of musical underscoring. You will understand why when you get to that part of the episode. But I feel like I have a better understanding of the, like, there ain't no law that says a blank can't do blank. Like, I had never seen this one before we did it for the podcast, and I feel like I'm in on more jokes than I was before. I will say that. The Air Bud clause is a legally binding clause.
It is. I can't believe you hadn't seen it. The one thing, like, I literally think about this film once a week when I go to the grocery store.
Ever since we've seen it,
even before, because – every time I see vanilla pudding cups, I'm like, that's disgusting. Only a golden retriever dog would eat that.
Or SpaghettiOs, although I love SpaghettiOs. Sure.
Yeah, I do love SpaghettiOs.
If you want to sponsor us, we will take the meatball ones.
And I mean, hey, pudding cups, if you want to sponsor us, I'll talk about chocolate ones. Just don't send vanilla, please.
I think it's really important to note in this intro that I had a ring pop last night that was given as a party favor. It was delicious. It was like a mixed berry, but I still have a cherry that I need to do. I also discovered my local BevMo sells Dunkaroos, and I think I needed to just share this with everyone, that, like, go to your local BevMo. They sell them individually, not as a box, just like an individual Dunkaroo.
That's amazing. I need to go. I want some. Yeah.
Get thee to a BevMo. I think my favorite part of this episode, other than the musical interludes, is the 60 degrees of Mouse Hunt. Like, what is, like, we have discovered a deep Hollywood conspiracy that, like, everybody has some sort of connection to the film Mouse Hunt who worked on Air
Bud. It is wild.
Yeah. So if we have any sleuths out there, you know, let's crack this cold case. Like, let's figure out what's going on. What's really
why
Hollywood?
I have a number of questions for those of you who are embarking on this journey to discover the truth. My first question is, why was this film made?
Yes, Harvey Weinstein.
Yes, I just, there's so many questions. How far up the chain in the Illuminati does this film go?
Honestly, there could be Epstein ties.
I believe it. I believe it.
Could be involved.
I mean, I'm wondering if the mouse is even like an alien or a god. Like, where did this mouse come from? I don't know.
Is Diana Jenkins' mouse? If you watch Real Housewives, you'll understand. Okay. Without further ado, the unfortunate not title holder of best people's choice animal, Air Bud.
Imagine, Sarah, my shock when I went to go find this movie on Disney Plus and discovered that only Air Buddies was available on Disney Plus. I can confidently say that Air Bud dunked so Air Buddies could sled? Question mark. I don't know what the Air Buddies do. But how dare they? How dare they not offer Air Bud on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I'm curious about this because I definitely had to rent this film on Apple TV.
I definitely paid $2.99 to rent this on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Julie, our guest, how did you watch this film?
I watched this. I had to rent it. I rented it through Google. Again, $2.99. They're making a killing.
Yeah.
I want to know why it's not on Disney Plus. I mean, they released it to VHS, to DVD, a special edition to DVD. I don't understand.
Important question. Did you guys go to the Air Bud website?
We did that. Yes. Do that.
Okay, good. Because that was a treat. And for anybody out there listening, go to airbud.com while this website still exists, because there's a cinematic trailer that I can't even begin to describe. Maybe we'll put a clip here of just like the music. It's very epic.
Hey y'all, Chloe Condon here. I'm editing this episode and I went to go and add the sound from this video, but it appears that since we have recorded this episode, which I believe was earlier in 22 or late 2021, the airbud.com website is now nft.airbud.com and is fully focused around their now available for a limited time exclusive digital character cards from Super Pup Z. So I just wanted to let everyone know that you can collect all five of your favorite super-powered furry friends and receive a special bonus airdrop of their next NFT. That's right. The Air Bud Super Pups, sorry, I said Pup Z earlier. It's just Pups with a Z, my bad, are now available in NFT collection form and have joined the metaverse. Thank you so much. And back to the show.
But I'm looking at this, I'm clicking on series, and there's Scaredy Cats, which coming soon October 1st, although that passed. It looks like Witch Cats. There's also Super Pups with a Z, which look like superhero dogs. And then Pup Academy, which looks like Harry Potter with puppies. So the franchise continues. But I'm not seeing Air Buddies on here. Am I crazy?
Well, when you go over the movies, you find Air Bud, Air Bud Golden Receiver, Air Bud World Pup, Air Bud... what is that? Seventh inning fetch?
And there's, that's right. On seventh inning seventh fetch, there's a raccoon fetch. Holding a baseball.
Yeah.
Just then to, there's, so there's other creatures.
Exactly. Cause then there's Air Bud Spikes back with a parrot, Air Buddies, Snow Buddies, Space Buddies, Santa Buddies, Spooky Buddies, Treasure Buddies, Super Buddies, Santa Paws, Santa Paws 2. Then there's a series of MVP movies featuring,
Most valuable primate.
Yes, most valuable primate, most vertical primate, and then most extreme primate. And then there's Spymate, also with a primate. The Duke, Chestnut, Hero of Central Park, which is just a completely different type of dog. Monkey Up, Pup Star, Pup Star 2, Pup Star World Tour, and Puppy Star Christmas.
I need to read the tagline on Monkey Up, which for anybody listening, the cover of Monkey Up is a convertible with a bunch of monkeys in it. I'm zooming in. And
sorry, this video does not exist. It doesn't
none of the videos exist if you click on them. And the tagline for Monkey Up is the fast and the furriest.
There are a lot of films. I will say, we watched this film with Ayla. Ayla, my almost four-year-old now. She did actually enjoy this one. I'll get to that later. And with my two golden retrievers and Jack, my youngest and biggest, literally I have video clips of him sitting and watching when The little boy is trying to save Buddy from the alcoholic clown.
Had you guys seen this before? Was this your first time seeing it?
No.
Oh, I've seen this before.
Definitely seen this before.
Was this the first time you saw it?
Yeah. Oh,
my goodness.
I knew the franchise, obviously, like, was very familiar. I have a lot to say about this. But before we do, Julie, tell the lovely people listening who you are, what you do, what is your life?
Hi, I am Julie Hubschman. I don't know. Julie Hubs on all of the things. I am a developer relations engineer.
And Julie and I met through working at Microsoft together, and we both
and Twitter
and Instagram, and we share a love for like vintage nostalgic toys. Julie like showed me how, what was it, Speak and Say? You pulled apart like a Speak and Say.
Yeah, we circuit bended together.
Yeah, Julie is similarly shares my love for taking apart Furbies and Tickle Me Elmos. Real quick side note, y'all. First of all, still stuck on the Air Bud website. The Instagram link does not work from the website. However, they do have an Instagram, which I found, and I'm going to drop a link to this in the chat here, which I think is my favorite Instagram post I've ever seen of anything. It said Apple AirPod case with two earbuds where the earbuds are supposed to be. And the caption says, really hope they announce the new AirBuds today. #AirBud, #Apple event, #AirPods, #iPhone 12, #Apple, #dogs, #dogs of Instagram.
Oh, this is, I liked it from our account. This is the best. This is the best.
We will be reposting that to our Instagram account for sure. And it seems that this account is all AirBud. Oh no, it does have Butterball on here, which, as far as I know from the AirBuddy series, is one of the AirBuddies. But I had never seen this movie before, y'all, and I have some thoughts. I have some very hot takes.
Well, before we jump into your thoughts, let me give the listeners a quick synopsis, and also I would love to know why this film from Julie. But let's. Let's first go with our quick synopsis. An unexpected player joins the school basketball team. A circus dog who's escaped from a cruel master. 1997, PG. I also just want to say the first sentence on the Wikipedia, like full plot, which is Norm Snively, an alcoholic clown, and his golden retriever, Old Blue, are doing a show at a child's birthday party by demonstrating the dog's ability to catch balls thrown at him. I love that the first sentence is just this alcoholic clown, which is, couldn't be more true. So this is the film we'll be talking about today. And Julie, I'd love to know why this film.
Why?
I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful.
I'm honored. I mean, so I had to pick a film and I thought of what is like a classic 90s film that like in your head really lives up to this idea and that like people still quote today. You know, people still say there's no rules that say a dog can't play basketball. Like people still quote Air Bud and people don't know where it's from. Also my quick blurb version, we can cut this if you want. Dead dads, pudding cups, and dogs. What could be better?
Yeah,
literally. I cannot
tell you.
This movie has
everything.
I literally, the second those vanilla pudding cups came out, I was like, oh my God, like core memory unlocked.
I know.
Remember these pudding cups. I hate vanilla, like pudding. I only like the chocolate kind, but I was like, it made it look so appetizing.
But also, like, that's one of the other things Chloe and I bonded over is the Dead Parents Society that we are both in. And so I realized it was a dead dad movie. I was like, oh, now we really got to watch it. I was like,
it was so funny. Julie texted me when she started watching it and was like, oh my God, there's a dead dad in this film. And I was like, of course there is. Because And for people who don't know, my mom died when I was 16. Julie's dad passed away when she was in college. And I think that was also something that Julie and I really bonded over together as friends. I literally wrote this down in my notes. This movie has everything. A clown, a harrowing tale of alcoholism, basketball, and a dog. Like, this film was a journey. I will say I had to take several breaks watching this film because it does move very slowly. Like, it's a children's film, of course, but it's really hard to just watch a depressed kid for, like, 45 minutes of this film. Like, it is a bit of a downer. I was trying to, like, fold clothes while I did it, like, do some stuff. I have so many things to say about this, but before we do, I do have some fun facts about this film. So I actually just listened to the Doughboys podcast, which is a wonderful fast food podcast that I recommend to everyone. And they just did a cover of, I think, Scary Buddies, like for Halloween, which are Spooky Buddies. And they mentioned on that show that the original kind of origin for Air Bud came from David Letterman's Stupid Pet Tricks. So David Letterman used to have this segment where they'd have like stupid kid tricks, stupid pet tricks, and dogs and cats, and people would just do silly things with their animals. And apparently Buddy came on and shot some hoops, I want to say. My question for you guys watching this, because this dog, to be fair, there are some shots where we do not see the dog dung. Like, it hits it with its nose, but it's been edited such that it goes into the hoop. But were you concerned at all for this dog's nose? Because basketballs are heavy, and I was a little concerned.
Chloe, you know that this dog is really Air Bud. Like, the film Air Bud is based off of a dog named Buddy. Okay. Who was found by the person who created this film, Kevin something. DiCicco?
Something like that. DiCicco?
Yeah. And he found a stray dog in Sierra Nevada in 1989, and adopted the golden retriever, brought him home to San Diego, and then trained him in basketball, baseball, football, soccer, and hockey. And my favorite clip is from David Letterman, is the one where Buddy is literally playing all the sports with Arnold Schwarzenegger just standing there watching him on stage.
Oh my God.
But this is like a legit, yeah. And what's very, very sad, though, is that Buddy filmed this. It came out in 97. Okay. He passed away in 1998. It was unrelated to shooting hoops. It was cancer, unfortunately. But I think the real tragedy here, no, I won't even say that, because I would be very sad if one of my pups died. But in addition to that very real tragedy, Buddy did not win Favorite Animal Star from the Kids' Choice Awards.
Okay. Who won?
You're not going to believe this. Stop. Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay, to be fair,
no,
he had some good quips.
He's not a real cat. He was up against, it was Buddy, Salem, Mouse from Mouse Hunt, which...
What?
And Willie.
Stuart Little?
And Willie from Free Willy 3, The Rescue. That was in 98. And then somehow in 99 was again, but I don't, yeah, it's I'm not going to go there. But in 98, he did not win. And I am very angry about this.
This is why it's important to vote. Because didn't the kids choose?
Yes.
So like,
I should have voted for Buddy.
Also very important of note, Air Buddy was also Comet in Full House.
Yes. Yes.
But only for one episode, right?
Only one episode, but still, you know.
Yep.
This was a multifaceted dog with many skills. And did you read about how they got the dog? So the dog didn't use its snout to shoot the it would bite the basketball, and then it would just kind of fly out of its mouth. And so to do it, they would slightly deflate the basketball.
And
covered with saliva or olive oil.
Okay, and I had questions about that logistically during the game, the first game, because he was biting it. And I was like, a dog can play basketball, but can a player bite the ball? that was not clarified.
So that was how they would cover the basketball in olive oil and just pray that it went in, basically. Because they were saying, like, one of the first shots I was reading, when they're doing, like, the one of the shots the kid does.
Yeah.
It took them 15 tries to get it for the first shot. And the director was like, this is never going to work. We made such a big mistake. I cannot believe I did this to myself. Like, and the director's like not some like joke of a guy. He was like the director of like Buffy or something, right?
Yeah. Let's see. The director was Charles Martin Smith, who is known for his roles in American Graffiti, The Buddy Holly Story, Never Cry Wolf, Starman, The Untouchables, Deep Cover, and The Band Played On, Speechless and Deep Impact. But also, yes, he was the director for The Snowwalker, Stone of Destiny, Dolphin Tale, and Dolphin Tale 2, and A Dog's
Woman. Now, have both of you seen Sister Act 1?
I have, but it's been a very, very, very long time.
Okay, that's totally fine. Because the thing that I could not get over in this film as a Sister Act fan is the mom is Sister Mary Catherine, I believe, from Sister Act. The one who sings at the end. Like the young, like, yeah. You know, like, I forget what her solo is. But the one who, like, has the big voice, which I found out, sadly, is not her voice. But I couldn't get over the fact that the clown in Air Bud was the bad guy in Sister Act 2. So they had worked together. Okay. And I was like, oh my God, is this part of the Sister Act universe? I love that.
I could see a golden retriever shooting basketballs in the Sister Act universe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, Air Bud back in the habit. I would totally watch that. Did you guys notice, let's start from the very beginning of this film. The first thing that I noticed was looking at the screen titles, it was like produced by Harvey Weinstein. And that set the tone.
The other thing I noticed besides that, though, was it just started with the yellow bird for a while. Yes. Like the true opening was just a yellow bird like bouncing around. It had nothing to do with anything else in the movie.
Yeah, I ignored the W word. Yes. The first thing I noticed was the kids are surprisingly good actors. Like the kids at the party, to be staring deadpan at this clown without making any expressions. They were young children. I was shocked at how well these kids could just stare. I mean, I think maybe he wasn't standing in front of them or something, but I was pretty impressed by that. That was
I have in my notes, girl with glasses and braces, iconic. Yes. That's what I have written. Yes. When she was an icon. I also wrote, clown is abusive to dog and threatens with newspaper, thus reproving clowns are bad.
I mean, it was, I don't know what this note meant, but I just wrote, we hit a clown dog.
Maybe hate.
And we hate a clown dog.
No,
we hit a clown dog. I don't know what I meant by that. But my second note is, was this the uniform of every 90s white boy? Like jean on jean jacket with hiking boots? And like, yes. I remember like my cousins around this time, I have a bunch of male cousins, would have like the Far Side t-shirts and then like a jean jacket. And then like a boot that made it look like you were going to go on a hike, but you probably haven't hiked in like years.
I will say I definitely had this jean jacket as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I want to make note of, because I did keep track, during that first scene, we did get our first montage.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there are at least 6 montages in this movie.
Oh my goodness. That's very true.
It's a very montage heavy film because I feel like it starts.
Kind of has to be.
Well, there's like the flashbacks, but then we get like this whole montage of like this kid's new, or I guess he's new to school. They moved. And it's him, like, I literally laughed out loud when he was in band. It was playing trombone. And he went, and then, like, the part of the trombone that you use your arm with just went flying off. And all the kids are like, ha-ha. And I was like, if that actually happened, like, I don't feel like it would be that funny. But they're just making this kid's life a living hell. They're like, he's a new kid. We don't like him.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. So we're jumping ahead a little bit because I want to talk about the fact that the only thing that we know about the father, our favorite dead dad, was he died in a plane crash.
And I didn't even catch that.
He was a test pilot. Died in a plane crash. Okay. So that's why they moved and why he's such a little sad boy.
Yes. I don't think I realized that it was a test flight until I read the Wikipedia page.
Though. I did pause the screen. I did 100% pause it to read the newspaper.
Got it.
How does one define a test flight?
It was a test pilot. I don't know.
Well, like, yeah. So if it's like a new aircraft or they're trying to do new maneuvers or something like that, they'll do a test flight in like the desert in a safe area to make sure that, you know, when and if they have to do that in a real scenario, they know how.
Sure.
The biggest thing I had, even before we meet Josh, even before we meet Josh, was I have always wanted, but not really, but like kind of, to be a mother who just screams in terror at a clown that's messing up my beautiful house. But like, I'm having a kid's party and it's totally unrealistic to expect all of these kids at a kid's party with this clown to like not make a mess. And she's just like so shocked and surprised that like this little kid party turned into a mess. And I just think it's hilarious. And like to be that mom, to just be like, oh my goodness.
Also, I loved our first like little act of like full on physical comedy, which is like also 90% of this, like a huge percentage of this movie is just pure physical comedy.
Yes.
And the her throwing the clown out and magically this tiny woman with like a bob like chucked a large man out of her house, like to the point where like he went crazy.
Like DJ like, Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince. Yeah. It was just like out the door.
Yeah.
A lot of physical comedy, and also like, and maybe this is just the actor in me, like I wrote down a bunch of actual quotes from this film, because when you're an actor and you're given a script, like there's only so much that you can do with like cadence or like the way that you deliver a line. And there were so many moments in this film where I genuinely believed that the actor, like they didn't have a lot to work with here. Like one of the quotes that I had written down was from the basketball coach, which is, because if you win in the court, you win at life. And I'm like, actually, no, like you don't. Okay. But to convincingly say that,
but also I wanted to know, because oh my gosh, this is a little bit ahead, but oh my gosh, did they take basketball so seriously? Now, my husband is 6'7". He played basketball in middle school, but then switched in high school to volleyball and then did it in college as well. So I asked him, is middle school basketball really this serious?
No,
so it's not middle school, it's high school.
No,
it is high school.
Are they in high school?
Yes, because there was the marching band in. There's no way they put a marching band in the middle. I kept going back.
No, I think it might have been middle school because he's only 12. High school is like 13.
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
In any case, I was like, okay, but is middle school, because he knows middle school basketball at least. I was like, is middle school basketball really this serious? And he was like, 1,000% yes, and this is why I did not continue. He was like, middle school basketball was so stressful. It was like everyone was so, like, angry. All of the parents were like, you cannot bench my son, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was legitimately, there were already scouts there for the high schools. He said that it was so stressful, he did not want to do it, and that's why he went over to volleyball, because it was just like a little bit more chill. But yes, he said, I mean, even middle school basketball was that aggressive.
Okay, so it was middle school. It was middle school basketball, but there were times when I was reading things and it started talking about a high school as well. So
he does still go to high school in the next one.
Yeah, so still very much not sure. Also, I like that there was no mascot at the school the for some reason. The Timberwolves. Yes, but that's the not their mascot.
I had a lot of concerns about this child because, first of all, like, this dog shows up. It could be rabid. I believe that – is the kid's name Josh? Is that his name?
Yes.
I believe he put together that – and maybe the mom later on when she found that piece of fabric, spoiler alert, that was on the clown costume, that this was the same dog that they, like, almost ran over, question mark, at the beginning of the film. But I had serious concerns that this dog could have been rabid. He just, like, shows up out of nowhere. But the biggest thing – and I've been thinking about this a lot about myself. Like, I was 16 when my mom died, and I was – you know, I was a pretty resilient kid, but I was pretty sad and mopey. But we spend like the first 20 to 30 minutes of this film just following around a really depressed, sad kid. And I just want this kid to go into therapy. I wish someone had put me in therapy around this time in my life. And I just want to advocate for anybody out there who has a kid who loses a significant parental figure in their life. Just put the kid in therapy so they don't have to deal. They don't have to use a dog who plays basketball as a therapist.
That's I can say I went to therapy. I'm still going to therapy. So yeah.
I would advocate for any parent, as I will do when Ayla is old enough to understand what therapy is, to put your kid in therapy before there's a problem of any kind. Like, find a trusted therapist and give your child a trusted adult to speak with that isn't you.
I recently read Cassie David, who is Larry David's daughter's autobiography. It's really good and funny, but I couldn't get over that she, in it, has a bunch of these psych evaluations that she had from her psychologist. And I was like, wow, I wish I would have had a psychological evaluation as a child going through what I was going through. And I just like kept thinking about this where I was like, you know, this kid wouldn't have to go sneak into an abandoned church parking lot and befriend a dog if y'all just got him proper mental health care.
I literally wrote down in these notes, spooky church, sure, let's go in. Yo, why is he looking around at this church? But there's a basketball court and basketball is life.
That's but what later, he also figures out how to like rewire the circuit box to like provide light for the basketball court. There's a lot of
I believe later on I go, is no one wondering where this child is?
Yeah.
I don't think his mom was. His mom had a 2-year-old and was just like, I don't know, kids will be kids, which is not okay.
Okay, but we got to talk about the craziest. Truly, there are some characters in this show. I will say the adults in this movie are larger than life. Like even the kind of principal character lady is just like, oh, you have to put the dog in a basketball game. There's a lot of larger than life characters, but we need to take a moment and talk about this insane George Bush impersonator basketball coach that starts out this film, because it starts out and you're like, oh, this guy has good intentions. And the last visual that we see of this man is him throwing basketballs at the face of a child until he bleeds. So let's talk about basketball, man. What is this character, babe? Let me. Who is this
coach,
man?
Arthur Chaney? Or is coach that? That's the good coach.
Coach Parker.
Coach Parker needs to be in jail.
Not Parker. No, not Parker. Barker.
Barker. Like as in bark.
Like bark. Like dog.
He barks orders at the children and throws basketballs in their face.
Adrian, I literally was said bleeding he wasn't or sweating. Surprised. I think he was sweating.
He was sweat. No, there was blood because it
he
like
had,
was
like something on his
blood
head.
From his nose at the end. It was totally blood.
Oh my god!
I mean, to be fair, Adrian said like he was literally not surprised. He was just like, "This is why I went into volleyball with like just the beach."
Stop!
Goers.
No, that cannot be true.
Just but, like okay, but can we? Like,
the next scene though is a scene that I remember so vividly, like more than pudding cups, which we do have to discuss pudding cups and the amount of food that this dog got, which was so unreal. But the next scene where the new coach, who we'll get to, Arthur, who is the janitor, but actually a previous ex-NBA superstar, the invisible ball scene is like
Why did he that guy died a long time ago. Why did he say that? Does anybody know why?
Because he didn't want to like have that be like maybe he was a disgraced player. Who knows what his
But he slapped.
he did. Great. I think he just wanted to be like, that was my old life. Like, that part of me has died. I'm done with it. But that, you're right, though, Julie. Like, that invisible basketball scene is so, so, so iconic. I mean, that scene walked so that Andy from The Office could run with his... No, it wasn't Andy. DiCarlo. Do y'all not watch The Office as much as I do?
I do watch, but it's been a while.
Well, anyways.
But he makes a great point with that exercise. Like, it's actually something that is taught quite a bit in improv. Like, if you've ever taken an improv or an acting class, a lot of the, like, early exercises that you'll do is, like, this is a ball. I'll let a ball. And it's all about getting everybody in the room to pay attention and focus on the same thing. And I thought that was such an interesting commentary. It was honestly one of the few moments of Air Bud where I was like, this guy has a point. Where they were like, hey, you can't be a team player if you're not paying attention to those around you. And I was like, okay, Arthur, like, I like you as a coach. Cool. You may have said that you were not this basketball man and that you had perished, but you're back. You're back in my good graces. Also, I'm going to assume that this film was sponsored by SpaghettiOs because of how often they showed up in this film. This dog was fed SpaghettiOs. This kid, we are absolutely posting onto the Instagram my favorite image from this film, which is a kid being so depressed and distracted by a dog that he saw that he moved his SpaghettiOs into shape. We're about to do Goofy Movie tomorrow. There's such a theme here with, like, soup and SpaghettiO,
so many SpaghettiOs
being moved around. SpaghettiOs, I hope they got a nice kickback from this film because I paid attention.
Okay, so if we're going to talk about SpaghettiOs, let's talk about then the pudding cups.
Yes.
His, I see a dog. Oh, you know what that dog needs? Pudding cup. Which a lot of dogs are lactose intolerant. So, like, yeah. Let's just get a dog.
Dogs shouldn't have, like, sugar. They should not have that much sugar.
Yeah, I was like, this dog is going to have such bad diarrhea, like SpaghettiOs and yogurt. Like,
but not one pudding cup, like a line of pudding cups.
Yeah. And how many takes did they have to do with the actual buddy?
It was probably not real pudding cups for the dog.
I hope.
Then we might know why the dog died.
Supposedly cancer, but you know.
Supposedly, but a pudding cup related.
I had never seen this film before, and I assumed as I began to watch it, because I think the Air Buddies talk, like I knew that, and I was like, wait, does Air Bud talk? And at first I thought that the pudding cups were to get the dog to start like moving his mouth, like with peanut butter, you know how they do with the animals in films. And then the dog never talked, but it did wear shoes. It did have some sick
Thick shoes.
I wanted to talk a little bit about dog shoes because
yes.
it's a real thing for some dogs. My mom's dog notoriously wears lots of shoes because he gets like little stickers in between his toes. And one time it like was a real problem. And so he'll literally walk around with shoes. But those shoes were the cutest. Most dogs will not walk normally in shoes, though.
They walk like
baby deer.
And he kind of does walk like that a little bit when he comes out on the court. You can, there's like this very specific way that dogs walk when they have shoes on that are like, what is on my feet? What is happening? Yeah. I loved that they announced, they said, and now the new player, K9. And I was like, how'd they have that jersey for him? Okay.
The jersey was the least believable part of this whole film, to be honest. I also just want to point out why in every single night, I mean, I guess I know why, but like every single bully in school always has a total asshole for a dad. Every time.
That's also, true. The other very big trope the bully did was he had a toothpick.
Yes. And Josh had a bowl cut. And the bully had the, like, swoop Ryder Strong haircut of the 90s. I noticed that also.
Real quick, back on Coach Arthur. I forgot that I wrote this note. So, at first, I thought this was a commentary on race. Because, like, because he's like, hey, you're a black guy who played basketball. Will you sign my card? And he was like, that's not me. That guy died a long time ago. And I was like, oh shit. Because it reminded me of this time where I went to Music Circus to see Beauty and the Beast, and Belle was played by a black woman. And there was also a black woman in the ensemble. And when the ensemble member came out, everyone was like, bravo. And she, and it rehearsed as if she had had to say this every night of the show. She's like, I'm not Belle, I'm just black. And I thought that's what was happening in Air Bud. I was like, oh yeah, like that's really racist, Josh. And then I was like, wait, he was the guy. So that confused me. That definitely, like, that was never addressed where it's like, yeah, I was ashamed because I'm a disgraced basketball player. Like, I didn't hit the free throw in like round four or whatever. Like, I was waiting for some sort of explanation for why he denied he was an NBA player. But
I feel like having watched this as a kid, the innocence of like the story and just kind of knowing that this was like a sports film never made me question that. So when I watched it again, I like obviously remembered that he was, but like still it was just kind of like, oh, like I got all the nuanced words that he didn't say.
And also,
but that's a good point. And I'm so sorry for that woman.
So shout out to ensemble member in Beauty and the Beast. I still think about that to this day. But then also, I had a moment because I had never seen this before, where when the dog showed up, I was like, is the dog the dad? Is this like a Jack Frost, like snow dad is better than no dad situation? Like, truly had a moment there where I was like, oh my God, this dog is his dad reincarnated. But that, I don't think that was the case. Maybe canonically it could be, but I don't think it was.
Maybe. I will say, even if my child brought home a stray animal, I would never threaten to send that animal to the pound if no one recovered.
That dog was a fucking menace because he's
fine
everywhere.
Right. Yeah,
so I did read something about, okay, I read something about one of those scenes, which was really interesting, which is the scene where the mom comes home and the dog is outside and then suddenly is inside. That is all in one shot. And it was done with three different dogs.
Yeah.
It is a single shot. It is a moving shot because Buddy was not the only dog. Buddy also had like
stunt doubles.
Of course. Which I wrote down their names. Oh my God. Their names were Rush and Chase.
So that shot was all one, like it was like a big deal that they did it all. This guy, the director, he had one idea for the entire movie and it was that one scene, and that was the only scene he wanted to see done correctly. And supposedly the second the scene ended, it wasn't that scene. It was the scene where the dog, because the dog can also do parkour and climb fences and jump out of the roof or whatever and all of that. Supposedly the dog did the scene where it came out of the bedroom and then down the trellis and then onto the car and then stole the newspaper. Supposedly that was a single shot and they did it in one shot and they never had to do it again.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I mean, I did LOL when she's having that conversation and a dog just like peeks around the corner. I was like, that's good dog acting.
It was. But still, like, you can say, like, we're going to find a new home for this dog. But, like, threatening to send the dog to the pound is basically saying, like, if no one takes this animal, I will murder it. Like, come on. The pound is not the same as, like, an animal shelter.
I have a question for both of you. Do you think that garbage is lucky? Like, would you keep an orange peel that was thrown by Scottie Pippen in your shoe and perhaps some gum by another NBA player? Because that child has a wild fascination with garbage.
I mean, garbage from like food? No. But like, do I have like a pick from the President of the United States of America when I went and saw them live and they like threw a pick onto the ground and it was like a sticky bar floor and I picked it up? Yes, I still have that.
An orange peel's a choice, I feel like. To keep in your shoe, I feel like smelly issues there. Then there was some gum that looked very questionable from this child. Who later gets pelted by balls by Coach Barker.
Okay, but revisiting that real quick. Principal Pepper, shout out to Principal Pepper, because she fired that man so fast.
But like, she also shout out to Buddy for alerting them to the fact of this horror.
She was just like, this is not going to happen. You are fired. And I appreciate that.
I love her.
Because too often do they like do adults in films like get off with things. Speaking of, excuse me, Mr. Snively should not have even been in the court to get old Blue back because he drove his truck through a park and ran through swings while children were just swinging on them. How is this man not arrested?
He almost ran over a couple. It was some Zodiac killer shit. It was like so wild. And I have so many questions.
I have so many questions about that last scene though. Just like, it was like, it really felt like a, we need another 15 minutes of movie. What can we do? 100%. Let's have a courtroom scene.
Okay. But like, 100%. I did write the note, unaccompanied minor on a water taxi with a man dressed as Eponine from Les Mis, because that was probably the weirdest part of all of this was like, was so why weird. Are you granting passage to a youth and his dog? And then why are you watching, like, if I was an adult man dressed as Eponine from Les Mis chartering a water taxi and I saw an adult crazed man whose car was literally coming apart, the steering wheel came off, he drove through a picnic and suddenly his car, like, the gas pedal just would not let out, fly into the water, and then a giant clown head, I'd be like, hey kid, are you okay? Is everything okay?
As the kid was getting back on the water taxi and leaving the dog, and the dog was just like running and swimming after the boat, Adrian goes, and the boat driver just lets this happen.
He wasn't SAG-AFTRA. He couldn't talk. He couldn't emote at all. I truly was laughing. I'm going to do a side-by-side on the Instagram of Eponine from Les Mis and the man chartering this boat, because it was like same hat, same trench coat, everything. No expression. Not worried at all. I was staring at the clown guy. What is his name in the film?
Snively.
Snively. I was like, where have I seen this man? This is Mr. Noodle from Elmo's World.
Oh, you're right. Maybe not like impressively remembered him from Mouse Hunt. Another famous.
How dare you? One of the competitors for best animal. He was booking the animal work back then.
Yeah, yeah.
He was also in Waterworld?
And Jurassic Park 3. This man was a very, very good actor. I thought that his acting in this film, like, yeah, you were meant to hate Snively. But that's what he did a good job of us hating him, like in a good way, you know?
Wait, this is for Chloe, musical queen. He was in Hair.
On Broadway or the movie?
Oh, no, the movie in 1979.
We don't talk about the movie. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's, I mean, this guy worked. He was in Gypsy. He played Mr. Goldstein in the Made for TV Gypsy.
What didn't he do?
He was in Sister Act 2. I mean, this guy books. This guy books. Booked.
Jurassic Park 3. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah. He was in Wild
Thornberries.
Ragtime.
Oh, my gosh.
He was in everything. Just such a great physical comedy character actor, because he was also in Polar Express. But Mr. Noodle, for people who don't know, like, Elmo's like, what's going on, Mr. Noodle? And then it's like, oh, Mr. Noodle's trying to start his car. And he's just always, like, doing it wrong. And, like, he's able to, like, act with, like, no words, which is such a, like, for, you know, my dad is a professional clown, and like physical comedy is like such an art in itself. And I felt like this film, physical comedy wise, like, yes, he was drunk, and drunk is so hard to play believably, like as an actor, because people either play it too drunk or like they they play it too sober. And I thought that, first of all, I think I read somewhere that originally Air Bud mistakenly was made a PG-13 movie.
Yes.
And I understand why, because there is violence and there is a lot of beer and alcoholism in this film, which surprised me for a kid's film.
Also, like, do you really want to talk about why is this boy so sad, mommy? Go into that discussion.
Yeah.
With the child.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I will say, as a 4-year-old, Ayla did not really notice that part, but she did. Yeah, she did get very sad when the dog was alone, when Buddy was alone. She was just like, he's all alone. He doesn't have
his family. I remember getting very emotional during Homeward Bound. Like, yes. When the idea of a dog, like, the whole part of this film where Buddy is in the clown costume. I mean, I could laugh at it now as an adult. It's just, like, alone. Like, the concept of a stray or lost or missing dog and that whole concept of Toy Story of, like, missing toys just, like, mm-hmm. pulled at my heartstrings so much as a kid. So
the I can only imagine. The brave little toaster.
Yeah.
Missing appliances. Like, come on.
Absolutely. I did write down, I rewound it several times to make sure that I got the quote absolutely right. It says, ain't no rule that says the dog can't play basketball. And then the coach says, what's the matter, gentlemen? Afraid your team might get beat by a dog? And they're like, no, we're fine. I thought that the dialogue was so hilarious, especially all of the, like, interspersed dialogue during the game, because the game itself, when Air Bud plays the first time, is just a lot of cuts to the yep. dogs booping a basketball. We don't see it going to the hoop necessarily. He's passing, he's serving, he's doing all this. But my favorite line in this entire film is, so the guy who plays the referee was great. Like, he's only in the film briefly, but the whole scene with, like, the slobbery ball and, like, all that, he's like, what's going on here? So good. But he says, the referee says to the coach, can he dribble? And then the coach says, no, but he might drool a little bit. And I, LOL.
No, it was great.
The drool is not addressed, though. That was a really big problem. Like, first of all, the dog punched a kid in the dick with the basketball. The bully, like, gets hit in the dick by the dog with a basketball. Nothing, no whistle is blown, nothing happened.
I literally have a note that says, I think that was a foul.
Yeah, that was a problem. Also, like, we go from a scene, and this is just, like, suspension of disbelief with a children's film, but the referee grabs the ball, and it is sopping wet. Like, it is dripping with olive oil. Like, truly, just drool all over it. And he goes, ugh, and he, like, wipes it off, and then they go right back into the game. And I'm like, this is not addressed, that this dog is biting the ball. There's a part where a kid is wrestling with the dog and the ball, and I'm like, this is not a contact sport. This is, like, basketball. But
although I will say, I have been very surprised at how wet basketballs and basketball courts get during, okay, like, professional, oh, sure, basketball games.
Like, sweat, like, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I'm going to do a supercut for the Instagram that is a montage of all the kids just being either, like, hit in the face with basketballs and hit in the dick by a basketball.
Because I feel like you just need to play that first scene of the game.
It was wild. I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's so much, like, physical abuse towards children and basketballs in this film that I, like, do not understand.
Yeah. I have a question. Have y'all ever seen the Globetrotters live?
Yes.
I have.
Yes, yes. Like, there was a lot of, like, Globetrotter.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball itself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, a Globetrotter ball, and there was a lot of, like, that sort of, like, kind of ode to Globetrotter stuff.
Yeah.
In the 90s, they were such a part of pop culture. I never saw them live. However, my very first and only competitive ice skating, figure skating routine I did was to the Harlem Globetrotters song. So nice. It was very much in the zeitgeist, I feel like, nice, in this time.
Yeah, I got a chance to see them live as, like, an older teen or an early 20. I don't even remember when. But something that I did not verify prior to this episode was Adrian could have sworn that they're trying to become an NBA team. And I think that would be amazing, because thinking about, like how a Globetrotter would need to have such command of the court and the ball, yeah, to perform all those tricks, they would probably be pretty amazing, like, to play against in a real game.
I would, right, watch that game. Like, right, to be able to, it's like people who are technical and give talks, it's like, oh, you can not only, you're not only really good at this craft, but you can also like entertain people while you do it.
Right.
But like, that's the whole thing. Like, it's the sheer power of a dog to a sports team. Like, Air Bud is a testament to the power of dogs to humans in sports, in the same way that like the Globetrotters, like, because truly the way that this film is really weird, because they're at first they're like, the dog's going to do the halftime show. And it becomes this like lovable mascot that like people are attending the games to like see him. And then he becomes a member of the team very quickly. Consent is important too.
True. Julie just shared their letter to the NBA, because they did. They petitioned in June 2021. And I want to read this because this is amazing. It says, "Dear NBA, it's been a while since our last formal meeting, 72 years to be exact. But we still remember that day in 1949 when we faced off against your world champion Lakers. And for the second year in a row, we were victorious. Yet, back in the day, that was a rare sight. For much of America, black players were literally blackballed from playing with and against white players. Even though it was us, the original Harlem Globetrotters, who brought the street game inside. Even though it was the Trotters who popularized the behind-the-back, inside-out handle, a la Kyrie, the no-look pass a la LBJ, the dunk, a la The Freak, the fast break a la Magic, the jump shot from half court a la Steph, and invented the hook shot from half court a la no one. People say it was that game in 1949 that sparked the integration of the NBA. 3 years after Jackie Robinson broke the baseball color barrier, y'all finally allowed African American players to ball. But instead of just letting us in, you took our players. The first black player to sign an NBA contract, Nat Sweetwater Clifton, a Harlem Globetrotter. The first black man to play in an NBA game, Earl Lloyd, another Globetrotter. While it was hard to see them go, we were proud of our young black men for ushering in such a significant change to the game. We continued to pack arenas and grow the game of basketball across the globe. When the NBA struggled to draw more than a few thousand fans, we agreed to schedule doubleheaders featuring the Globetrotters. As the NBA grew, you were able to attract the best black players, but we remember who helped get the NBA started. Don't get us wrong, we love what y'all have done recently, and we are proud of how your players are standing up to make a difference in their communities, but don't get it twisted. Basketball would not be what it is today without us. You've played games in 17 countries. We've played in 122. We brought basketball to the world stage. The world would have never heard of Dr. James Naismith, the inventor of basketball, if it wasn't for the Globetrotters. We spread game. Facts. Back then, it was us. We were the ones who kept hope alive and the game we all watch, play, and love today alive. Congratulations on growing into a multi-billion dollar industry with international endeavors and huge media deals. We've kept our heads down and focused on what means the most to us: world-class basketball showmanship, uniting families, and spreading joy of the game. So if you really believe what you've been saying about social justice, going back to quote-unquote normal needs to look different, you can't just act like we don't exist anymore. It's time to right the wrongs and rewrite history. It's time for the NBA to honor what the Globetrotters have done for our sport, both here in the U.S. and around the globe. Based on what we've already proven, we can field a team of talent on par with the pros of today, and we want the chance to do that. As a world-renowned and legendary professional basketball team, we petition Commissioner Adam Silver, the NBA governors, and the powers that be to grant the original Harlem Globetrotters an NBA franchise. Not now, but right now. Sincerely, the Harlem Globetrotters." I literally have chills, y'all. Like, I don't think you can see it, but I literally have chills.
I think what we need to do is we need to get some of those crypto bros to, like, read this and get involved. And
hey, I'm a crypto ho. I can help with that.
Can you help with that?
An interesting thing about looking at the Meet the Team page, so there are female Globetrotters, which is really cool. There's a little person Globetrotter, which is super cool. And there's only one white dude from Poland who they met at a pre-game meet and greet event that, like, had a video go viral because they were just, like, so impressed with the skills. So there's only one white dude from Poland. This is so cool. I learned a lot about the Globetrotters today. Cool. And also, like, they seem so much more skilled than like,
yes,
like to be able to like entertain and play a good game.
Well, that's like, what made me think about it. Exactly like what you were saying, Chloe, like if you have a skill, like a technical skill, and I don't just mean technology, I mean like a technical skill, like basketball, like, you know, woodworking, whatever, but you also have showmanship. Like they said, they play in 122 countries around the world. Like they brought basketball to a worldwide global stage. That's amazing.
We're going to post a link where people can spread awareness on this, because this is really freaking cool.
So and cool.
One of the players
do a figure skating routine. So there's how.
One of the players who got drafted in 2020 was Sister Margaret Ann, along with four other nuns at Archbishop Coleman F. Carroll High School in Miami. Viral when they posted a video during the 2020 NBA playoffs cheering on the Miami Heat and player Kendrick Nunn. Sister Margaret is a longtime fan of basketball, having played and coached the sport at both the high school and collegiate levels. So cool. Every year they like draft people as like people who like, you know, continue for the success of, you know, the Globetrotters, like Chad McBoseman was drafted, Russell Wilson was drafted, Mookie Betts. It's like,
I'm going to see them next time they're in Oakland.
I 100% want tickets.
I need like, to like how have get I missed Ayla this? Vaccinated so then that way we can go anywhere to go see them, because she definitely has to experience this.
That they're so they're cool. Doing shows.
Good.
This is so awesome.
They should be. I love that. I also like, were the Globetrotters ever in any of the Air Bud movies? I wonder. In any of the franchises? I hope they were. That would be cool.
I don't know. Good question. I mean, they were definitely on a lot of television. Where I remember them the most was they were featured on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I was going to say, why am I picturing an animated Globetrotter right now? That is why.
So many animated things, I feel like.
Yeah, they were that definitely whole, like, featured on Scooby.
Hanna-Barbera franchise, I feel like, was doing a lot of Globetrotter stuff. Yeah, I'm laughing, you guys. I'm looking at this very serious Google Doc that says a dog punched a young man in the dick. We're doing the Lord's work on this podcast.
Y'all, two popes are honorary members of the Globetrotters. Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis.
Whoopi
Goldberg is an honorary member. This is so cool. Okay, sorry.
I want Ayla to become a Globetrotter.
I do too.
Like, become a stage mom, but, like, a court mom, I guess?
Yes. Yes.
But like, you're like, oh, no. I don't care if she gets a slam dunk. I just want her to perform and entertain the crowd.
Did we buy Ayla a jersey?
Yes, I do want to get her a jersey. And I also feel like I should make her train our golden retrievers to play with her.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That could be her thing. She's the animal person. Okay. This is canon.
Wait, no. It's Air Buddy 2.0. I mean, they're remaking everything from the 90s. Let's remake Air Bud.
What would be, like, a female version of Bud?
But can it, like, but Air can Bay? It be Air Bay? But can it also Air be, like the MTV maid, so she wants to be made into a Harlem Globetrotter with her dogs, absolutely, with Air Bud and Air Bay, because we have one of each. I think that would be perfect.
Wow. I think that would be perfect. We're going to make this happen.
All right. Her whole life is set. I'm done.
This is the origin
being a parent
story. I will say
Air Bay coming out 2027.
Yeah. I'm front row. I'll be there. Featuring the Harlem Globetrotters. So I loved the guy who played the judge in the courtroom, because he gave me Ebenezer Scrooge vibes, and his whole shtick was like not understanding what the heck was going on. Where he's like, what is this, a courtroom? Like, first of all, rude. That could have been a seeing-eye dog. So like, why are you shitting on a dog being in the courtroom? That's problematic. But it was just, like, the fact that he would have all these – he reminded me of, like, the doctor from Family Guy who, like, leads in saying different things. Where he was like, have the dog choose between the two owners. That's the best idea I've ever heard.
Well, first, and I was first like, oh he says – First he says, I've heard a lot of cockamamie ideas in this courtroom, and that's gotta be the best one. I wrote that.
But down. Also when he went on like a full nostalgia hit from the coach, yeah. When he was like, I was there, I spilled a beer on my wife.
Oh my god.
Oh okay, my wait, god. Here's a fun fact that I just saw. Norm Snively, our favorite alcoholic clown's phone number, was 555-7833. 7833 is Ruff.
Wait, you guys. Illuminati confirmed. Guess who was also in Mouse Hunt?
I know!
Why were all these people in Mouse Hunt?
And that was his last film.
What the hell? Mouse Hunt is wild. Why were so many of these actors, like, they're just so like, it's typecasting. They're like, oh, you worked with a dog, you can work with a mouse. I don't even think that mouse was real. I never saw it. Was that with Nathan Lane? Who's in Mouse Hunt? Let's see. Nathan Lane and Lee Evans. Okay, interesting. Maybe we need to do Mouse Hunt on the show.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken's in it. Maybe what we need to do on the show is review every animal movie that was up for Best Animal the year of Air Bud. So we got to get Julie back for Mouse Hunt. We got to get Julie back for Free Willy 3.
Oh, God.
And actually then, determine, was Air Bud robbed?
And then for the 1999 one, we're going to have to watch Babe.
Wow, there was so much animal. Like, it was around that time, like, post-Francis the Talking Mule, where they're like, oh, we can use computers now to make their mouths look like they're talking. But I don't think in some of these movies their mouths even moved. Like, Salem was an animatronic puppet. Yeah. But, like, wow.
I don't think Willy Illuminati spoke.
I'm looking at a list that someone has on IMDb that was updated, and I'm telling you this, a week ago,
amazing.
Of animal-based movies I've seen. So I'm going through that right now and seeing what other great 90s. We have Beethoven 2nd and 3rd.
Oh my god, that's right.
Dr. Doolittle.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another great one. This person has seen like every Air Bud movie. So one of the things about the tennis ball is supposedly this dog, like the actual Buddy, loved all balls, like and so the dog wouldn't pay attention to the kid. And what they would do is they would throw the dog a tennis ball and put the tennis ball in the kid's jacket.
Oh my gosh.
So that the dog would follow the kid.
I will say,
it
though,
did not cue to the kid.
Having owned 2 golden retrievers now, very accurate. Very accurate that my dog will not give a flying crap about me if there's a ball nearby.
I have a good, like, question. Does anybody have any final thoughts on Air Bud? Because I have a question for y'all.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, another Illuminati confirmed. The second we finished this film, Apple TV suggested another show for us to start. And I'm putting this in the chat. I will let you all click and we will put this on socials. But this is what we saw. And basically, it is the poster for Hawkeye, the TV show, that apparently features a golden retriever. And Adrian was just like, the credits ended, it stopped. All of a sudden these like suggested films and TV shows come up. And we literally just sat there staring at this, confused at what we were looking at. Until finally Adrian just like quietly said, is Air Bud in Hawkeye?
I will say I was getting a bunch of Google News alerts that were like, everybody knows I used to do musical theater and I love Broadway stuff. And I was getting all these recommended articles about how Mark Shaiman and my favorite kind of directing duo team that did Hairspray wrote, directed, produced the musical within the first episode of Hawkeye. Like, there's like a Avengers musical that takes place. And last night, while I was watching Air Bud, Illuminati confirmed, I was folding clothes and I heard a musical. And I was like, something's wrong. My boyfriend, who hates musicals, is listening to a musical right now. And so I look downstairs and I'm like, first of all, how dare you? I told you to tell me when the musical part of this came up in Hawkeye. And secondly, did not see a dog. So, but that looks like Air Bud in this image, Sarah. Like,
it does.
I think canonically it could be. It because has to be. With this franchise of the Super Buddy universe, maybe that's like all connected in the Marvel universe. And soon there will be on Avengers campus an Air Bud stadium.
And also remember, it's also connected to the Sister Act universe.
You're right. Yes. And the Mouse Hunterverse.
And the Mouse Hunterverse. Yeah, I'm no. very curious for the 2022, you know, like, Avengers Assemble version of this universe. It's going to be...
Avengers amazing. Assemble Super Buddies?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my MVP. God. MVP. So we talked about how Air Bud had this obsession with balls, but with the... And hitting kids in the balls, apparently. But on this website, on the Air Bud website, it seems like most of the sports that Air Bud participated in were ball related. We got the basketball, we got the football, we got the soccer. What sport, like, if you took over the Air Bud franchise today and you had to pitch to Disney, question mark? Because again, I feel very upset that Air Bud is not on Disney Plus. What sport do you think Air Bud should do next? And it doesn't have to be ball related. Like, what would you like to see Air Bud tackle? No pun intended.
That's a great question.
Because I feel like physically he could, if he wanted to, I believe he could snowboard. Like, I see that for him. Or like ski, like water ski.
I've seen the dogs, like a lot of the sports teams now on TikTok, the hockey teams are all get golden retrievers. It's super cute. Highly recommend looking up these cute golden retrievers that are like hockey dogs.
Okay, okay.
I could see a hockey Air Bud. I thought there was a hockey Air Bud, to be honest.
I thought there was, too. I'm just Googling sports right now, which tells you how little I know about sports. I'm just like, list sports.
See, that's my problem is that all the sports that I played, I mean, I did a little bit of soccer, but it was like, I ran cross country, and then I ran the 2 mile in track, and then I kayaked. Like, they were very, like, not ball-related sports.
You could do a surfing one.
A surfing one. I've actually seen dogs surf. I went to the San Francisco dog surfing competition, and that honestly was one of the best moments of my life. So I can stand by surfing for sure. Roller skating would be hard, obviously.
I would want to see, like, archery. Like, I would want to see how they would imagine, like, archery or tennis or something with, like, you know, something that you have to hold on to. I think it would be hilarious to see how they would, like,
they did baseball. So they did do baseball.
Right.
So,
but he was a catcher, at least in the David Letterman snippet that I found on YouTube. He was a catcher. So
I don't know. I'm looking at the picture of the seventh inning fetch, and he has a baseball bat in his mouth.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Okay. But the raccoon is holding the ball.
Yeah. Yes. Very closely.
I literally Googled sports, just gave me sports news. So now I Googled weird sports. Did you know wife carrying is a sport today?
I think I've heard of that.
You probably do very well with your husband, to be honest.
Like, there could be like an Air Bud chess, like a dog that knows how to play chess.
I could see that.
Air Bud parkour.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
This was already Air Bud parkour.
Exactly.
But you have to be like the tagline. You have to be like Air Bud water ski back in the ocean. You know what I mean? Like,
doggy paddle. Ping-pong.
Well, no, the second one you can have like paws up. Like,
oh my god. I feel like we're missing a really. I'm Googling more sports. Let's see,
there was a joke.
Sports in the world.
There was a joke on the David Letterman with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he asked if he did weightlifting. So I'd love to see Air Bud,
a buddy cop, weights. Like with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like,
oh my god,
they befriend each other.
Arnie and Buddy.
That. I love that.
It could just be called Buddy Cop. And then the surprise is that Buddy is a cop. I love it.
I think mine would be competitive ballroom dance. And it would be about like a young child, boy or girl, or they, them, whatever, whose partner, like maybe they're a teen and they like break up with their partner, but they need a partner for the ballroom dance competition. And then they're like, there's no rule that says a dog can't dance ballroom
dance. I mean, they have those dogs that dance. Like they like have won like America's Got Talent and stuff. They have the dogs that dance and they like put their and they do like routines. It's like a whole area of the world.
Isn't like Step Up, like it's like Step Up to the Streets. Like there could be a whole franchise where it's like first he does ballroom, then he does hip hop, then he does break dance. Like
I could see
the dog do break dance. Just watch the thing.
I also could totally see Cadet Kelly 2, where Buddy participates in the rhythmic gymnastics finale.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like with the ribbon?
With Christy. Yeah. With
Christy. With the ribbon? Can you imagine a dog with a ribbon?
I love that. I feel like, you know, if, first of all, call us, airbud.com, about updating all these videos and the Instagram URL. This website needs to be updated. But call us about these spinoffs. I feel like it would be like
and happily help
Airbud ballroom dance step up. What's the equivalent to step up for a dog? It would be like
pause up.
Yeah,
wow, that's like this was... any problem. The surf's up, it's gonna be pause up, Ella, and pause up.
I was gonna say, we have to do like a like surfing, skateboarding, roller skating, like volleyball, like
oh, you know, skateboarding
beach. Yeah,
skateboarding is such an easy, like, just there's so many dogs just like stands, like I love this for us. Like, please call us, we will take over this franchise.
The man who played the judge, Eric Christmas, he you know, did a lot of acting in San Diego, and I feel like that's just a way to honor him.
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys, it says right here that Air Bud played the mouse in Mousetrap? Mousetime? Just kidding.
Let's just remember the fact that this child will still need therapy because that dog is not going to live forever. And so this is a very much an unresolved...
In fact, the year after this came out...
This is a very much an unresolved way to solve your grief, child.
Oh, this poor Josh.
I feel like we need to have Julie back and do an Air Buddies film because I need to understand how these dogs start talking and are they related at all to Buddy? Is it Buddy's litter? Like, is the
supposedly Buddy did have a litter before he died?
Because my understanding from listening to this Doughboys podcast is that the personalities of the dogs are based off their owners, but the owners are kids that aren't related. So like, I just need to understand how these dogs get together and why. So we need to have you back to dissect. We also need to check and see if anybody in Air Buddies was in Mouse Hunt.
I mean, I'll do this one and I'll just keep coming back for dog ones. We can do Wishbone. We can just hit on all of the classics.
Our resident dog expert. Well, this
I don't even have a dog.
Neither do I. We'll have you back for Beverly Hills Chihuahua. We'll have you back for Free Willy.
I'm just gonna be the dog expert from now on.
Cats don't dance, not even real animals.
We can do Zeus and Roxanne with a dog and a dolphin.
Stuart Little. That's more like mid-2000s, but.
So, man, any final shout out to the dogs. On dog sports. I mean, I will say I was very excited when Julie recommended this because I remember, so back when I used to work in the video game industry, I worked as a customer support agent and I could never go to like any of the like fun parties or events that my coworkers threw, and because I had theater and shows that I was doing nights and weekends. But I distinctly remember being very upset. A coworker of mine, Tim, shout out to Tim, wherever you are, was having a party at his house one weekend. I think maybe in lieu of the Super Bowl, and it was a dog sports party where they were going to watch like all the Air Bud films from like the start of the day to the evening. And I remember being so sad I couldn't make it to that party because I had a show that day. I had like a matinee on a Sunday. But I love this idea of like dog sports. Like he was like, it's a dog sports party. And I'm so glad that I got to watch this with the two of you and really dissect what the heck was going on in the Air Budiverse, or I guess the Mouse Huntiverse technically. But any final thoughts on Air Bud, Julie?
Final thoughts on Air Bud. Teach your dogs how to play sports. Don't let your children go to creepy churches by themselves. And
let the Harlem Globetrotters play in the NBA.
Yeah, let the Harlem Globetrotters play in the NBA. Don't feed dog pudding cups. Shout out to SpaghettiOs. You know,
arrest the alcoholic clowns that run.
Arrest the alcoholic clown, because really he shouldn't have been on the streets after that.
Also, pay more closer attention to your garden. Like I would imagine that the mound of like paper newspapers, like how did that go unnoticed?
Well, yeah, that was a.
How about the mound of clothes that is moving on your child's bed?
Yeah. I feel like there are so many things in this movie that we didn't even hit on because it was such a fever dream.
Yes. Yeah. I know. About halfway through recording this episode, I started to realize that we were just jumping everywhere because it really was just this like really slow film. But then all of a sudden these random things, and it's, yeah, definitely hard to keep.
It was slow, but really not. Like, it's like exactly. One of those things you have to watch it to just like witness the six montages of this movie. And also the dramatic music during the montages. Oh, I could talk about this forever.
Yeah. Do we ever actually get confirmation that that guy was the basketball player?
Yes, he signs the card.
Yeah. But do we know, was that, did he
ever
say that was his name?
He just signed the card.
No, I'm serious.
With the card.
He's like, he died.
Sports is not endorsed by the companies featured in this episode or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Mix and Master by Dr. G.
Our theme song is Keep Me Entertained by Maddie McGuire.
Salute Your Sports is recorded in front of a live house plant
and in a shed
and is not produced in Nickelodeon Studios at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.
Fuck Mouse Hunt. Put that at the end of the episode.